Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Beth Van.
Good morning.
To understand modern Hawaii, you really have to kind of understand the story of Kahoʻolawe, don't you?
In many ways, yes. And that is why a lot of scientists who've been in Honolulu over the last few days are now going to be issuing a statement about that. So we're going to talk about that first this morning. Now, later today, the scientists from the Association of Tropical Biology and Conservation will bring their largest ever conference to a close. Before they leave Hawaii, they're issuing a statement about the status of Kahoʻolawe. Dr. Jose Fragoso is a senior scientist in the biology department at Stanford University. He's also the co-chair of the Conservation Committee for the Association, and he joins us this morning. Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you very much for having me here and to speak about this important issue that our society members are very concerned with.
You mentioned that they are concerned with this issue. How did you find that out?
I actually was a professor at UH Manoa for a number of years and was aware of some of the issues, but our society also canvasses all of our members in Hawaii to identify the most pressing conservation issues.
And you did that as part of the fact that you were going to be here in Hawaii and looking at issues of local concern, and you would do that in any location where you would go.
Exactly. So every time we meet, and because we're an international organization, we meet in different places in the world, and every place we ask our members to identify what is important to the local conservation community that we as a society can attempt to help resolve using the weight of our membership, which is mostly scientists and a scientific society.
And then once you have identified that, to integrate that into the overall agenda for the conference. Now, when you canvassed the members from Hawaii and Kahoʻolawe came up as a tie with water issues.
Yes, they actually, in Hawaii, it was very difficult to identify one issue. And those of us who've lived in Hawaii know that there are many issues of concern. All of them had to do with how we manage our land and how we manage our water resources. And they were tied closely to issues of concern to Native Hawaiians as well. So the water issue, for example, tied very nicely to concerns of the Ahupua form of land management. So it tied both the land and the water. And Kahoʻolawe as well tied those concerns of environment and people, but it also had the potential to serve as a model for the rest of the world, because the issues we've seen in Kahoʻolawe resonate with many different places in across the tropical world. So although the issue was identified by key members and members of our society here who had reached out to the broader society in Hawaii, they also tied with concerns of the society members as a whole.
As you look at Kahoʻolawe, as you say, as being a model for other places in the world, where specifically would be some place that would be similar to what we've seen happen with Kahoʻolawe?
It's probably not best to name specific sites, but some places in the Philippines come to mind. There are a number of places in South America and the Amazon that come to mind that there are similar issues about land use, native or indigenous people's use of the land, former use by military, either for training or bombing as well. So these sort of have a broader kind of reach across the world.
As you look at Kahoʻolawe specifically, though, knowing that the funds that were once appropriated to be able to clean up and fix it have now dwindled to their very last few dollars, and now there's still quite a bit more yet to do, even in the way the ordinance was clear, that wasn't done 100%, that there's never been truly 100% of the restoration that was supposed to happen, which is what you and the association have been calling for.
Yes, so we at the ATBC, when we looked at this issue and we thought more about it, we actually then go into finding out more details and more deeply understanding the issue. So we contacted more people after the initial identification. And as you say, we found that the money that had been allocated for the removal of ordnance and the restoration of the island was inadequate, and that was fairly clear now, perhaps not back then. And we identified that as in our declaration. That's actually the main item we identify, is the need to complete the work that was agreed to by the U.S. government through the military, and that'll involve adding more funds to the completion, especially now that all funds that were available have been depleted. And so the necessity to finish the work is as acute as it was when we first started.
Do you believe that the government will be sensitive to that acuity?
I would hope so. I was speaking to someone and trying to explain why it's important that the U.S. government complete its contract and its promises for Koholave. And I sort of thought about it in the same way that, as a country, the United States approaches its veterans. It's a rare instance that our country abandons its veterans without fully ensuring that they're being cared for with health care, with adequate retirement payments and that sort of thing. And in a way, I look at Koholave, my understanding of it is Koholave also served our military. It came out of World War II. It did its service. It completed and served for about 50 years. And then we're sort of abandoning it. It's not something, we wouldn't have abandoned our soldiers, and we don't abandon our soldiers that have served. So why is a U.S. government abandoning Koholave when it has served the purposes of our society so greatly?
Some might suggest that all you have to do is look back into our very, very recent history to see some of the issues with veterans and getting health care and getting it in an appropriate time frame, to suggest that maybe your argument, as good as it might feel, is not necessarily a reflection of reality.
And I agree very much with that statement. That's why we greatly need our state representatives in Washington to take up this issue. We see that when veterans are brought up as an issue, there's usually a groundswell of support for resolving those issues. We see that with the recent issue with veterans and health care. Yes, the problem was there. Yes, the problem was identified. Once identified, this upwelling of support for resolution, both public and political support, was very great. And we need that sort of response from our community as well, but especially from our senators and our congressmen here in Hawaii, to take this up, take it back to Washington and say, you can't just drop this. You can't just leave it as it is.
It being Koholave.
Yes, leaving Koholave in this state. It did its service. The Hawaiian community, the Native Hawaiian community, the people of Hawaii provided this land, supported its use in support of our military. Now we need it fully cleaned.
So, Dr. Fragoso, what happens now as you and the 500-plus members leave Hawaii and go back to the 50 countries from whence they came, and leaving this declaration behind about Koholave? What do you hope will happen to do with it now that will give it, you know, some weight, some teeth?
Well, one thing we've identified, that it'll probably take about $1 billion to fully clean and restore the island. These are based on calculations estimated from what it has already cost to clean as much as we have. And what we leave is this declaration. The declaration is important because it actually goes around the world. So we think of it as having local importance. But our declarations, because it's made by an important community of scientists, actually makes its way to Italy, to Europe, to other countries. And they'll be reading about the situation in Koholave. They'll be reading around the world about what's happening here. And I would like to think that that understanding that the rest of the world has now of Koholave And an additional effort from our politicians to sort of restore the funding that's needed, coupled together to sort of give the world a better picture of what Hawaii is about and what it's doing for its environment and its people.
Dr. Jose Fragoso, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for the time here.
Dr. Jose Fragoso is a senior scientist in the biology department at Stanford University. He's also co-chair of the Conservation Committee for the Association of Tropical Biology and Conservation, wrapping up their conference in Honolulu this week.